And my colleague and I are involved in a project that's an interprofessional project that happens in neighborhoods and has implications for public health nursing, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Hi there, I'm Heather, and I'm just going to start us off by saying we have nothing to disclose, no relationship to disclose. Today's discussion, we really just want to introduce you a little bit to ICANN as a framework for a neighborhood clinical experience that we've been working within for 10 years, and ICANN for now 3 years, and then some implications around interprofessional education, collaborative practice related to that. And now I'm going to hand this back over to Lana Ray, who's going to give you some history and context about how we got here.
So this is really about change. How many of you like change? A few of us, but not really, and particularly if we're not in control of it. So I thought I would share with you a little bit about how this happened. And as Heather said, about 10 years ago, we were challenged. The Oregon State Board of Nursing said we really were going to have a nursing shortage unless we increase the number of our graduates from our undergraduate programs and our graduate programs. And so we were tasked with doubling our student enrollment. At the same time at our university, we had a new curriculum. And in this curriculum, we were blessed to have a 9-credit combined theory and clinical course in population health. In addition, a 3-credit course in epidemiology for our undergraduate students. So we had that opportunity. We had twice as many students. And during this same time period, we had the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that was on the horizon coming. We had the IOM report on the future of nursing, the Quad Council competencies, and now the revision. In our public health departments, however, we had declining funding and declining positions for public health nurses. And also some of those positions were really individual focused because of fee-for-service reimbursements rather than population health focus. So we didn't have a lot of role models for our students. Additionally, we had the newly revised now scope and standards of practice for public health nursing that have come out. So those were all driving factors that really pushed towards making a change or moving your mind, something that we don't usually want to do. So we had a meeting and had opportunity to have focus groups talk about how we might manage this. And the idea that came up was that we have a lot of neighborhoods. And this map shows the Portland area. And Portland's been divided into neighborhoods. And the neighborhoods are part of larger coalitions. And so we decided for Portland we would go with a neighborhood geographic model, but it really could be a town, it could be a district, it could be a parish, it could be census tracts, whatever, to define that geographic area. And our plan was that we would have nursing faculty with nursing students and have a practice within that geographic area. And it would allow the nursing students and the faculty to look at population health without the constraints of someone's specific role as a preceptor. So we started doing that, talking with students about a concept we call Zoom, the ability to move from working with an individual and then finding what you can learn from them that's generalizable then to the population. What are the things that come up commonly with individuals? And what implications do those have for the larger population and also for the environment in the neighborhood? And so some of the specific areas that we apply Zoom to would be care coordination, working with an individual, and then thinking more broadly, as you view the individual as a key informant as well, about what implications that might have for other individuals like this person in that neighborhood. We did that with transition management and looking at the resources in the neighborhood and how individuals were able to move smoothly through those and how those collaborated to provide the most user-friendly service. We looked at the role of the nurse as a systems engineer. We found a lot of unfriendly systems in our neighborhoods that present huge barriers, particularly for our vulnerable populations in the neighborhood. And so what are the skills that a nurse needs to be able to function as a systems engineer in streamlining those processes within the neighborhoods? And finally, foundational to the work is the relationships that we have with individuals and with agencies in each of those neighborhoods. My colleague Heather is going to talk about what happened next.
Great. So what happened next? We were very fortunate to be the recipients of the NEPQR grant in 2012. It really helped us to solidify and formalize the whole idea of neighborhoods as clinical placements. And that was ICANN, or the Interprofessional Care Access Network. And really, ICANN was designed to address the social determinants of health for some of our most needy and most underserved folks within our neighborhoods that we had already established ourselves in. And we really did that through developing close partnerships between academia, in this case OHSU, some of the community-based organizations, our federally qualified health centers within their neighborhoods, within the neighborhoods, and then the neighborhoods, the people who live there themselves. And the whole idea was to be able to create greater opportunities for coordination of care and access to services for people within the neighborhood utilizing interprofessional student teams. So Oregon Health Science University has many different health professionals within that university. So ICANN really is a collaborative program for clinical practice and education, and our hope is that we enhance the care experience, improve health outcomes, and reduce costs. We're getting to know that well at this point, aren't we? That's the triple aim. And really targeted at our most underserved and disadvantaged individuals and families. Really foundational to the ICANN project are those relationships, the development and sustainability of those relationships within the neighborhood. And so, as Lana Ray alluded to, nursing faculty within this grant really works to bridge that between academia and the community, bringing the students into the neighborhood, but then working very closely to strengthen and maintain those relationships. So as I said, the ICANN brings together students from different disciplines in our health profession students to work in the neighborhoods and the clients really on social determinants of health, not so much on direct care, which is the sort of mind-bending for them that they're not going out to start IVs, do wound care, and that kind of thing. We really want to focus them in zooming out, zooming in on social determinants of care, and also through care coordination, through client-centered approaches. That's a really important concept that we want our students to walk away with. So the student teams are made up of students from the School of Nursing, School of Medicine, College of Pharmacy, and the School of Dentistry. And if you think that getting all of those together on a team to go on one visit to talk with a client isn't difficult, come talk to us. We'll bend your ear all afternoon. So the student teams, as I said, work with clients and the faculty member to plan care, to coordinate care for clients, and in this way they have an opportunity to look at each other's unique disciplines and what they bring to the table and their unique perspectives from their disciplines. And for many, this is the first time that's ever happened. So we really, the faculty really works with them on that interprofessional communication, really brings out the idea of teamwork and the interprofessional team. And through that, over time, roles and expectations begin to emerge within that team because the students themselves self-organize and identify who's good at this, who's good at that. And so they become very close-knit and working within their teams. So some of the roles of the student teams as they work with individuals is to identify, as I said, we really work on client-centered, the concept of client-centeredness. And so working with individuals to identify what is important to them and what health goals they would like to work on, and then the student teams meet with those clients every week to work on those. And some of the examples that we see are people wanting to get off the street and into housing, or they can't afford their medication, or they'd like to reestablish with their healthcare provider. So all of those are some examples of what the students do to help clients with their self-identified goals. The students participate in team huddles both before and after those home visits or agency visits or under the bridge visits or wherever we happen to be. And the faculty member is always there to help bring out those learning experiences, both from the client visit, but also within that interprofessional learning that they're having right now. So the students engage in team-based problem solving, and one of the things that we always bring out, or we always think of, is our clients as key informants, so that we're learning from them about larger issues that are probably existing within the neighborhood, not just with this one person, but within many people. And then reflecting on learning, of course, is always important in any situation. This summer, we were invited to present to the National Center for Interprofessional Practice and Education, which is a nationwide collaboration of schools that are experimenting, maybe we can say, with innovative models. And so OHSU is an incubator site for two projects, and we became the third project for OHSU and one of 13 nationwide, the ICANN project did for its innovation. So I'm now going to turn it back over. So we're demonstrating here partnership, collaboration.
Okay. Lana Ray,
it's great how the Nexus incubator projects parallel the goals and the work in our project, so that made us a good fit. I wanted to tell you a brief story of a gentleman that we met early on in this work. He's a 67-year-old man who's been homeless now for 2 years, and he needs cataract surgery. He had been doing some tailoring work, and his vision was getting so bad he couldn't do that. In fact, his vision was so bad he was tripping. As he was trying to get around downtown. And he had a cart he would take with him that provided him some support. We had opportunity to have nursing students, pharmacy students, and dental students meet with him for different issues. The dental student was quite appalled when he learned the man didn't have a toothbrush and hadn't probably brushed his teeth for 3 months anyway. Pharmacy student, when he asked to see his medications and discovered that his little ophthalmic medications and things were down in the bottom of this big bag, was quite appalled with how compliant he probably was in taking his medications when he managed them in that way. We were able to get him an appointment to be seen by an ophthalmologist, and then as it turned out, there was an event in downtown for a cooking class. And this gentleman said, you know, that was really important to him, because he had worked in a restaurant at one time in his life, and he was going to get to go and hang out with other people all day and make this food, and then they were going to sit down and enjoy it together. And it happened to be the same time as his doctor's appointment. So that's an example of having to juggle to look at the client priorities. We rescheduled and found that they wouldn't do the surgery that he needed on his cataracts until he was housed. It took us 5 months to be able to arrange housing for this gentleman. You have to have ID. His ID had been stolen in the shelter because there's really no place to lock up your stuff. You have to have a birth certificate to get ID. You have to get that. You have to have a credit card and access to a computer to go online and request that, and, of course, an address to have it mailed to. The complexity for people in trying to get housed is just overwhelming, and we all participated in learning with him about what the dysfunctions are. Once we did finally get identification, you had to go to each place to fill out applications, some of which were 25 pages long, really difficult for somebody who is low vision, much less people that have low cognition and other kinds of issues, which didn't apply to him but do apply to our population. So it turned out it was quite a challenge. We finally did get him housed. He was able to get the surgery, and that's wonderful. We've seen a huge increase in his progress. What I wanted to kind of wrap up with is that there's a Laotian proverb that says it's easier to move a mountain than to move your mind. And in some ways, that's been the journey, and I think it reflects where some of us are in public health nursing practice, too. We have opportunities to think about our practice in new ways. Things have changed a lot, but it's hard to get your minds to move. Students have a much easier time because they don't come pre-formed with how things are supposed to be. It's a real challenge. I would suggest, I found a lot of benefit in thinking about otters, and I have a friend who does this kind of work, but if we're really well-formed as experts in public health nurses, we've probably gone into the kiln And we may be beautiful in a very narrow area of practice, but as things change, it doesn't give us much flexibility. And I would challenge you to think about how we maybe stay out of the kiln and maintain our flexibility so that we're able to continue to form. And I'd love to have discussion about your thoughts about where we need to do that and how we do that. But my time is up, so thank you very much for your participation here. Okay.